Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I try to bring people to the show who are really transforming the consciousness of the planet, evolving our spiritual nature, opening up to greater levels of consciousness. And somehow I just come across these people. I find them, they find me, and tonight's guest is someone very much involved with the evolution of consciousness on the planet through the use of his words, his transmissions, his downloads. His name is Dreaming Bear, and we'll be talking about his work as a wordsmith, poet, leader of consciousness, and sort of the history he's come from, where he's come from, and what he has to tell everyone else. Okay, Dreaming Bear, are you there?
Aloha, beautiful Alan.
Can you give me your name is Dreaming Bear, but you, are you Native American?
I am. Actually, my grandmother's side of the family is Cherokee from Oklahoma, which is called Broken Bow, and my father is Palestinian from part of the Middle East, which is now in Israel, called Akka.
Okay. Would you say you're a poet?
Where are you going to?
Repeat that one more time?
I would say you're a poet.
I would call myself a spoken word artist more than a poet, although what I do is poetic in the same sense that Hafiz and Khalil Gibran and Rumi were poets, but with an emphasis on catalyzing the consciousness of those who hear it. I consider these seed syllables of life, which when planted into the fertile soil of the soul, they bloom into this infinite understanding of one's own authentic nature, giving a person permission to express that.
Well, would you say you actually had some kind of awakening? I mean, how did you get to where you are? What's that journey? Just describe a little bit of your process.
Well, my story actually is a story of alchemy. It's transforming darkness into light, turning pain into beauty. I was actually the victim of child abuse at a very young age. I watched my brother brutally killed in front of my eyes. My sister was kidnapped. My family lived in a refugee camp, so you can imagine all the stories, you know, the stories of the illusion that go along with that scenario. And it came to the point in my life where I discovered that I could either continue to allow myself to be a victim and continue to create maybe perhaps even legitimate excuses on why not fulfill my potential, or I could just see everything that happened to me negative as a challenge to overcome, something to turn into something that would serve the world in a beautiful way.
Wait, just so I get where you're coming from, where were you when you saw your brother killed and all that? What was happening?
That actually happened here in the States. My brother was killed as we were playing outside. I was 8, 3 and a half, and just 3 months after that, my sister was kidnapped in the same state of Texas.
What was happening? What was that going on there? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, as you can imagine, a Cherokee mother and a Palestinian father coming together, this is two heritages of displacement you're talking about. The poorest of the poor, having come from the lowest echelon of society. And in that realm, in that world, it seems almost as if the poor people have catastrophe upon catastrophe. And I was sort of an inheritor of mother's karma, as it were, of being a child on the run and an abused child. And having inherited that karma, for me, was just a moment where I was given a rare opportunity to see if I could take that, which the rest of the world would call damaging, and use it as a way of creating beauty. And so the details of that are tied up in a storyline of a life that has evolved from nothingness into a life of just wanting so deeply to give the world a great big tender hug and kiss, because I feel like having learned that was the catalyst for my emergence away from the quote-unquote normalcy of the world, of seeing things in a prescribed manner. And that gave me the ability to see through the illusion, as it were, to say, if this is my life, if everyone around me is dying and being taken, then I need to make the most of this moment and really give this life all that it's due by fulfilling my potential on every possible level. And I made that choice at the age of 8. I said, from this day forward, I'm going to live a life that lives enough for two.
Wait, I want to actually understand the process. You saw all this stuff going on, and what was the thing you said to yourself in order not to react with anger and frustration and fear? How did you transform that moment?
Well, initially I reacted with anger, with fear, with insecurity, with a sense of brokenness and utter unspeakability. Like most people do, we push our pain away so far that it could never touch us. We put it in that secret closet in our heart's house. But for some reason, when I was very young, I was fortunate enough, when I got removed from my mother's home, I was placed in foster care with my grandmother, who was the one voice of love and tenderness. And she used to tell me, baby, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever let anything that ever hurts you destroy you, because you go through the worst, but you can become your best. So I took those words that she said to me, you go through the worst, but you can become your best. And I repeated them to myself as a mantra. And even in the midst of being angry and broken and feeling legitimately like I could voice my victimization and be validated with that, something inside of me kept saying, but there's something more. And a desire, really, to say, I don't want to live a life that's anything other than spectacular and beautiful, and that says to the world, yes, I may have gone through hell, but this is sometimes the most direct route to heaven.
So then what was that first awakening? What was the experience of that?
Well, if I had to go back to the very beginning, it would be that very day that I watched my brother die. And at the age of 8, standing on the side of the road, and having almost felt like in the death of my brother, there was also the death of my innocence. And a sudden realization, just a sudden realization that people around me were dying and being kidnapped and taken and brutalized, and just a sudden understanding that there is something inside of me that is allowing me to go through these experiences for a reason. And not even in the beginning, it was just that seed of a realization with the hope maybe it would develop into the flower of something more fascinating, which it ultimately did.
So when did that start to flower? When did you have that rush of the gift of love, let's say? When did that come to you?
Well, the first day that I realized I had a gift, I wrote my first transmission, my first poem, as it were, and it was a four-word poem by an 8-year-old kid, and it said, forgive, 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 amen. And that's why I got the word forgiveness actually tattooed my back, so that word of being able to let go of whatever it was, in that instant, when I wrote those words, I understood that was the only way for me to be liberated from a life of what would otherwise have been heavy suitcases of emotional baggage weighing people down.
So do you get a sense that there's this other part of you, this kind of non-ego part that's sort of been running your life, in a sense?
I do. I get the direct sense of an entity, an essence, which I call Source, directly perceiving existence through my fingertips, mind, thoughts, and body. And I get that sense to such an extent that when I receive the transmissions, I always feel as if it's the voice of the world somehow echoing off the beat of my heart. I feel that when I look out into this world, I see many faces, many different skins, but one being inhabiting all. And that same being I can sense beneath the periphery of my personality, sort of tickling my tenderness and saying, come out and play. It's fortunate that these things happened to me in my childhood, because it really focused me on this, what I call second innocence, or a re-bewilderment with life, a re-fascination with life, and giving myself permission to live the kind of life that would say, hey, if I die tomorrow, I'm going to have done everything I could do while I could, and this is the best poem I can live with my very life.
Mm. So these transmissions happen to you, you feel these words coming through you. How do these inspirations of words flow through you? What's that process?
It's a process of surrendering and just saying to the universe these very simple words. Every day I get up and I say, universe, speak to me, speak through me, speak as me. And then I wait for just a moment sometimes, and it's almost like a lightning rod receiving lightning, and bam, it hits. And suddenly there's a flash of information and a flash of awareness that really comes through direct experience, lived experience, where what I really do is I translate everyday experiences into cosmic articulations that help us realize the oneness in a playful, poetic, but in a way that teaches the lesson and tells the story and tickles the ear all at the same time. So it's a process of living the truth, but then being open to receiving the translation, because it's all about re-articulating lost paradigms, taking that old story of you're not good enough, you're not beautiful enough, you're not this enough, and turning it into you have the source of the universe inhabiting every molecule and cell of your body. With that kind of power at your fingertips, what couldn't you create? And so that realization comes from surrendering and then being willing, like a cup, to be filled up and then to be poured out and refilled and poured out.
I mean, it seems like you have an interesting bridge between a political situations and a kind of spiritual situation. And I do think they're sort of one and the same thing, but you have an ability to be in both of those worlds. Would you say that?
I think that my culture and heritage and my own experiences have somehow uniquely... I went to the Middle East recently. I did what's called the World Tenderness Tour, trying to resurrect tenderness as a way of life in the hearts of people who are suicide bombers and creating all kinds of havoc. And I realized in those arenas that my Palestinian heritage somehow uniquely opened me up to speak to the Arabic world in a way that they could receive me. And then my Native American heritage had somehow opened me up to another realm of being able to speak to the Israelis. And then somehow in that mixture, there came a great awareness that how we approach our political, spiritual, socioeconomic challenges in life has a direct result in bearing on being able to see one another in an authentic light. And ultimately, for me, standing in between those worlds, as you say, is a matter of just being authentic in the extremest degree, as it were, by allowing myself to be transparent and saying to every being, we can be just as beautiful as each other. We can both contain the power that created everything in existence and yet still let our hearts be humble enough to acknowledge one another's beautiful expression in this world. And I think that plays over and carries over into the success that I've experienced in having these phenomenal gatherings between seeming enemies in a way that would create what we call in Hawaii ho'oponopono, or the making right of wrongs.
So what was the result? So you had gatherings with Palestinians and Israelis, and what happened in these gatherings?
If you want to see a first-hand view of it, you can go to dreamingbear.net. On the front page, there's a 10-minute video of a gathering that I had with Palestinians, Israelis, and the children of former Nazis, who had come to this land as peace pilgrims, and we held a giant gathering at this 45-foot separation barrier that keeps Palestine from Israel. And that's just one example of what I'm talking about, bringing together the separate groups who seemingly have nothing in common, or who are warring over ideologies that are thousands of years old, and then saying, hey, let's be creative, let's dance, let's laugh, let's sing, let's use the spoken word to generate within us a sense of playfulness that is almost a playground for peace mentality. And bringing that kind of an awareness, the awareness of children into it. You know, while I was there, a child taught me, she said to me, there is always peace. All we have to do is love each other without shame. And I took that as my political and spiritual mantra, that there can always be peace when we love ourselves together without shame.
So now your work is to travel the world, give these transmissions, and uplift consciousness. Is that what you're here to do?
I call myself a quantum conscious catalyst. Now, that's a fancy way of saying I get into your heart and I start a fire. And I just, it's a fire that was already there, and it's a fire that may even be raging, but all I do is I add a little fuel to that fire if it's already going. And it's a fire that's contagious, because what I'm here to do is to inspire each being that I meet to realize that they are phenomenal in and of their own right. And my call to them is, I challenge you, this generation, to rise in love, to rise into your fullness, and to take up that mantle of greatness. Because when we start to raise a generation of beings who know who they are without having to be egoic about it, but who can say, I do have power and I can assert it in a way that gives the world something beautiful. When we raise a generation that can do that, then we're experiencing a quantum level of conscious shift. And that's why I say what I do is it's a quantum conscious catalyst, like a match to gasoline. And there's an explosion of joy and happiness that takes place in the hearts of beings. And I think that's primarily what I'm here to do, is bring people back into a state of oneness and happiness.
Well, you know, I'd love to have you ignite a little fire inside of us now. And if you could bring through something, I don't know, that you haven't done before, that for me, what I'm interested in is merging this spiritual, political sense and evolution we're going towards with the ability to realize our own self-worth and our own self-power. Could you just do a little download of that?
I can speak to that.
Yes.
Welcome to the tree of life. Welcome to the tree of life. Let's climb the vines of each other's minds together and go out on a limb of love, where we can more easily rub elbows with eternity as we carve each other's name into a heart of light, etched from the funny bone of the moon. Red alert, red alert, the tenderness terrorist is on the loose and has planted a ticking time bomb of truth in a secret somewhere hidden inside your heart's house and is waiting for the right moment to detonate your devotion, blow your mind away with beauty, and shatter all our systems about love. Whilst the ego can be frantically searching under every cushion of comfort and within the walls of reason in hopes of diffusing the explosive device of duality, which when triggered will incinerate your sense of separation and utterly annihilate all our attachments to identities, keeping us under the control of an occupying energy which has us believing in the concoction of a competition of races who may have many different color faces but whose hearts all beat with one rhythm to the same color blood. Meanwhile, we exchange counterfeit currencies in place of compassion and keep pointing our unforgiving fingers at our next-door neighbors whose nationality and culture could be cause for celebration of diversity, but instead has become the butt of our jokes and bullet fodder for the slingshot of stereotypes which keep breaking the windows of bewilderment wherein are housed all our priceless treasures of together. But don't let them tame you, for you are an expression of love in time and space, vibration, dancing with sound, swimming in music. If you could pull far enough back from existence, you'd hear a song, and the endless symphony of solar systems would seem like a campfire in the infinite emptiness of pure potential, because your navel is a porthole to a parallel dimension where universes collide in cosmic kisses and supernova stars inseminate their luminous secrets upon the pregnant pages pounding in the pulse of planets pouring out vintage intoxicating skies, bottled with ice and brewed in the beloved's own bathtub. You see, skin is our spirit singing softly into the ears of eternity's longing for experience as the myriad mystery of context, texture, and form merging into the material manifestation of your magnificence making itself known. I could take a single sentence from your innocence and string it across timelessness. The living water of your tears turns into a true love tidal wave, wiping out whole cities of critical thoughts still embedded on the eastern seaboard of our enlightenment. Because tonight, the full moon is skydiving face first into the eyes of the earth, while our mixture sings from the stars like they were monsters. So let the politically insane be committed to their democratic institutions while we unfree hand in hand with galaxies, making love to our laughter in the glowing pools of the infinite oasis of your heart's grace. Let these words to a dervish on the dance floor of your ears appetite for expansion and be absorbed into the inner space of the wonderverse that is awakening within you. Wipe the seraphim once sleeping eyes as we see beyond our sight and feel beyond our senses all the sacred secrets open to reveal themselves as the blooming, brilliant flower of the lotus mandala, made of an endless architecture of two-dimensional root systems that run like veins through interstellar nurseries happening on the ceremonial stardust soil of your soul's ancestral home. The final countdown has begun because this is the air raid bombing of beauty. These words are weapons of mass creation, and your heart is ground zero where ideas of inequality are obliterated as the old paradigm self-destruct mechanism gets triggered by the fascination-filled freedom fighter within you who is always dropping dirty bombs of divine inspiration in the inner city streets of your soul's imagination, doing away with the word war, and instead waging guerrilla love fare upon the foreign legions of guilt unforgiveness and fear who have infiltrated the Mecca of our mind's most holy shrine and set up snipers of insensitivity to the emotional needs of others in the form of holding our happiness hostage with playing target practice by being pretentious, seeking to assassinate our awareness by means of intercontinental ballistic belittling. Step 2, are impervious to the pathogens of patriarchal thinking when you stop paying the overpriced rent of your attention to the self-guided things of others whose judgments of you are really indications of their own inability to fully accept themselves. Because contrary to the popular political polls of others, there is no such thing as a war that can be justified by giving it a brand name and choosing to call it holy, or so-called righteous revolution that has anything to do with giving in to the violence and cruelty. So why allow the learned behaviors of jealousy and rage to form a consensus of dunces within you that evolved into an organized oppression that is always so eager to point the finger and play the blame game by declaring jihad against your joy? You see, I swallowed the key of unconditional love. So let's break free of this real case of inhibition and perception and let mind streak naked across the landscape of our faces till we become one outlaws who refuse to be on the run and instead stand our ground grateful for the gift of each other, knowing that the tenderness terrorists about to lose, and that ticking time bomb of truth has just now gone off in the form of you finally having the courage to be you.
That's pretty amazing. that just come to you?
That came to me just a few days ago, actually, and I told you at dinner I write these transmissions of my heart so that they become one with my very essence.
I mean, it reminds me of elements of Rumi and Hafiz and, you know, the kind of mystical poets of Arabia. And, you know, it's from a whole tradition that we have yet to really embrace in this country, I think, a kind of visionary poetry that opens up the mind to enlightenment and to who we really are. And so it seems like a new genre for us. And you're inspiring people to think about themselves in new ways and using words and kind of political imagery to affect inner change and outer change. Does that make sense to you?
That, first of all, thank you for the equation with Rumi and Hafiz. They are my greatest teachers, and that is my intention, to take the everyday aspects of life, whether it be political, religious, scientific, to merge them into one beautiful truth that is able to say, if you begin to see yourself as the person that you've always dreamed you could be, and then have the courage to begin to enact that being on a new level in a way that allows you to articulate your own personal paradigm to being its most beautiful version, I think that that's what I was born for. And if the Middle East war has done anything to America, hopefully they'll open us up to that portion that you're just talking about, that thin slice of enlightenment that comes from these expanded consciousness poets who really saw everyone as their beloved. That's the fundamental basis for that kind of an understanding, is that every being, every creature on this planet somehow contains elements of our beloved. That is to say, to be so in love with the source of existence, so in love with life itself and the process of creation, that somehow you make the universe's toes curl with joy at the way you live your life.
I mean, when you say everyone be your beloved, it reminds me of Amma, the hugging saint, you know, how everyone is her beloved. She just takes them into her body and loves them and kisses them. And so you're writing, or you're inspired from that same place of oneness consciousness. But can you describe your process? It's like, how do these things come to you? I mean, what actually goes on in the mechanism? I'm sort of fascinated with that type of thing. If you can describe it, you know?
It's sort of like being in a very vivid, lucid dream, which every component of the things that I'm saying and writing are coming to me through a combination of retrospective understanding, some elements of that I've experienced with beings to present articulations of the moment that are happening in such a context that just seems so outrageous that I have to write it down. So there's two states. There's one state where I'm constantly, every day I'm writing. Not a day that I don't write. I mean, I have about 8 books already written. I have a 9th on the way called Lovelution. And so there's always that process of recording. I'm listening. I'm listening to you at dinner. I'm writing down little bits and pieces of the jewels and gems that are spilling out of the edges of your mouth. And people are passing me on the street corner, and they're saying these things. But it's all part of this great collective poem. I perceive life as one fantastic poem. And you know, it's many, many sacred texts say in the beginning there was the Word, and then the Word was made flesh. Well, I take that literally to an extent that I see us as articulations or verbalizations from that great echo of harmonic vibration. It could be a voice, it could be a song, it could be a symphony, it could be all the above. But it's a poem in and of itself, and it's happening all around us. It's the form of people's tears and laughter and breaths inwards and heartbeats. And it's an ongoing process. It's the very way I live my life. I call it living poetically. That is to say that by the time I am done with having lived, I hope and pray that the universe will recite the verses of what I have created in hopes of just giving the world something to make the corners of their mouth curl upwards and for them to say, you know what? I am beautiful, and I do have something wonderful to offer this world. And it comes from that realization of just saying, I'm open, I'm available, speak to me. I say to everything, what can you teach me? The tree outside of this place we're sitting, I say to that tree, what can you teach me? The person sitting in the car next to us. You know, it's all about just saying to everything you meet, what can you teach me? Often I pick up hitchhikers and just say, what can you teach me? And they'll say, excuse me, I just need a ride. And that's not until you tell me something that you've accumulated in your life, because we're all teachers, and we all have something to offer. And it's just about being a student of life, being a pupil to the poetry that's happening all around. And the process for me is multifold, but it's a continuous process that has peaks. It's never had a bottom or a flat line, but it's always got peaks, and it just seems like it's getting higher and higher and higher. I feel like I'm strapped to a rocket when it comes. I'm strapped to a rocket of consciousness, and the final countdown has begun, and it's launching, if you could imagine that for a moment.
Well, so is there like a difference between your own inner life, who you are as a evolving personality with all your emotions and pains, and this other kind of channel of divine voice consciousness? Where's that line between the two?
Yeah, I call it the gaps between me and my honesty. These are the places where idealization and reality meet and emerge into an imperfect picture of a being who is just saying, let me be authentic, and hey, I'm flawed in these areas, and I'm perhaps still emotionally, running the relay race in these areas, but these are the areas in which my heart is expanded in terms of forgiveness, compassion, love, tenderness, and that's the mantra I live my life by. Now, I could honestly say, and there are beings in this room could either testify to that, the fact that I live my life in a way that I incorporate those as my everyday expression into the world. However, that's not to say that there aren't those moments when I just want to cut and tear a hole in the world for all the frustrations that seem to be building up over the million or more redundancies of having to be a part of a society that is still unwilling to untie its wings. But I find that the closer I get to accepting myself fully without shame, the less space between the gaps that exist. So imperfect I am, and I hope I stay that way, because to me that's where the interesting things happen. People out there trying to be perfect need to realize that the real quirks of life, the strangest and fictitious parts of life, are parts that where you say, hey, I'm not quite completely involved here, it's all right. And yet be able to embrace your fullness regardless.
Well, it's like almost, it seems like there's a part of you talking to another part of yourself. It's like you are somehow also bringing in this information for that imperfect part, right?
Oh, of course. And I think that's what makes it so relatable, you know? I can do this poetry to 90-year-olds and 9-year-olds, and across the board, there's laughter and joy at the end. And it's because the parts of me that aren't necessarily, quote-unquote, evolved or enlightened or expanded, those parts have a voice too. And those are the parts that every other heart in the world can relate to, because those are the parts that their heart is saying as well. Because we're all expanding. We're all evolving. We're all prophets in disguise. We just haven't all learned to listen to the wind yet. And so for me, it's a commingling of my, what I call my earthly nature, which is my physical body and all of its emotional dysfunction and all of its physical complexity, merging with my higher self nature, or my true self nature, I should say, which is that infinite nexus point where all souls merge into one unlimited understanding.
So how can we all tap into the same, that same space? Can you teach us that? How do we tap into the poetry?
Well, there's no saying. If you can't be the poet, at least have the courage to be the poem. And it's about just being the poem. It's about seeing yourself in your fullness. If you could imagine yourself being and doing and saying and carrying on as the being that you could say, this would be the most beautiful possible version of myself. Visualize that being. Give that being a texture. Give that being an outfit. Give that being a way of carrying themselves in the world. And that's not to say you want to rehearse and become somebody you're not, but that is to say, inside of you somewhere, there is your true nature, and it's always waiting patiently for you to open the door of neglect where you keep it hidden away from the world by playing small and pretending to be less than you are. And all one needs to do is, if you can't be the poet, become the poem. Let your life be the verse that you recite by saying, this is who I could be if I allowed myself to experience life unbridled.
Like what? Give me an example, because, I mean, it sounds good. I think I'm almost with you there, but how? Give me specifics, if you don't mind.
Well, I can put it in the context for myself, which was, for me, being the poem was a matter of saying, where do I want to go? If I have this life, I've been given this life, who could I be if I could be anybody in the world? Could I be the President of the United States? Sure. Does that inspire me? No. What do I want to do? If I could do anything, what I would want to do is to be the kind of being that travels this world and shares with other beings their own beautiful life. Well, what would that look like? Well, it would look like this person that has somehow evolved into the manifestation of who I am in this moment and continuing to evolve to that manifestation, but giving yourself permission in little ways to take chances that you don't normally take, to go outside of your so-called comfort zones and be wild and carefree, despite the voice inside of you that is always saying, oh, you shouldn't do that, or here's your traditional upbringing, and what about all these voices in your head, your mother and father? There's something else inside of you, and it's about being willing to leave behind all the other voices in exchange for the most authentic one that still resonates and echoes inside of you. For me, it came from, you know, spending elaborate amounts of time in solitary, what self-imposed confinement, and I would consider it self-imposed expansion. Going into the wilderness, going into nature. If people want to fast track to their own internal infinite infinity, all they need to do is go somewhere where there are trees, where there are rivers, where there are stars, where there are creatures who aren't living in concrete and houses and on electricity. I'm talking about getting back to being one with this planet, getting back to being one with our mother and this eternal, this bioship that we've been given through the galaxy, and tuning in with the frequency and just allowing yourself permission, courage to step outside the perceived comfort zones and be something unusual.
I mean, you are talking to the converted, you know, but there's a huge population out there that, you know, is really stuck in something else. And how do we reach those people?
Laughter is the best key to reaching any being on this planet. I can tell you that laughter and tears are the two languages we all have in common. If we can reach people, it's going to be through a smile, a hug, and a kiss. I'm talking about the real revolution. For me, it's not one that could ever be fought with guns and bombs. It's one that could only be waged with hugs and kisses. In other words, that is to say, to be a living revolutionary. A living revolutionary will be a being that is saying, not to proselytize and go out like and spread the so-called gospel of being good, but rather to say, my life, the way I'm going to live it, is going to be a way that is an invitation, an open-armed invitation, welcoming every being in with a smile, with a hug, with a hopeful thought that somehow we could co-inhabit this moment in the sense of co-creation. Now, if I'm preaching to the converted, all I would say to the converted was, then let's get out there. Let's do it. Let's go to the front lines. You know, it's one thing to say it's going to say, let's be enlightened. But what kind of courage it takes to go to places like the Middle East, the war zones, places where the darkness seems to squelch out any light that comes close. We need to be ambassadors of this spirit, ambassadors of these awarenesses, by willingly giving our information and awareness and knowledge to the world in a package that they can accept. And the package I found that works best is laughter, tenderness, and harmlessness. The world really has lost a sense of tenderness as a way of life, and they've lost a sense of happiness as a way of life. You know, if you look at statistics, the happiness has become an abnormality in America. Why? Because we've gotten away from the things that truly matter. We've gotten away from our own infinite nature. And we, as the converted, have somehow gotten away from our ability to be catalysts ourselves.
When you say tenderness, I mean, I think I know what you mean, but how do you communicate that? How do we go out in the world and be that?
Well, you could take it to the extreme as I have done. As I travel the world, I literally bow to the feet and kiss the feet of the beings that I meet, and saying in that same breath, I see my beloved in you. I take it to that extreme, and that's what I did all through the Middle East, which was something they have never seen before, someone bowing and kissing their feet and honoring them. But if you say, whoa, that's way too far for me, then I would say,
having the courage to say to every person,
look into their eyes, if this was my beloved, how would I treat that person? And not to say you're going to grab them and start kissing them and making out with them, because that's what you would do with your beloved, but what kind of courtesies would you extend to them? What kind of consideration, what kind of thoughtfulness would you give to this world if you were literally entertaining in every moment the person that you were so romantically in love with that you could not live without? And for me, that's the approach, saying that everything that I say and do is going to be laced with a little bit of this kindness. Kindness for me has become that super drug of the century, as it were. So letting ourselves get high on being our higher self.
No, I like that. I like that. So, in this coming world, this coming age, you definitely do see there'll be a shift in this consciousness where more people will live this. I see it, actually, and that's what the work, you know, we're both doing. But how does the world then look? That's a question I always like to ask. What does a world of love look like? How will it be different than this world we've been riding around in?
Well, I'd like to also acknowledge you as a pioneer in this process, because, Alan, you have really blazed away. You are a facilitator of this great movement, and I know that you have visions and dreams, and what I see happening when the so-called love-illusion, this evolution from self and ego to oneness and community, what I see is people living closer to the earth, closer to their authentic expressions, speaking their own beautiful truth. I envision a world in which people are able to express themselves without shame and to accept one another. And these are grand articulations. People might say that's a utopian description, and I'm not talking about a perfect world where everything goes right and people never argue and people never get in conflict. The point of conflict is that it's an opportunity. And what's the opportunity? To resolve what you have been challenged with. Every day, every moment of our lives is an opportunity, good or bad. And the challenge is this: do you have the courage to perform the true alchemy? Can you turn the negative into the positive? Can you transform the darkness into the light? Can you celebrate the beauty of what is in every moment? And for me, a world of love is a world in which beings may not be perfect, but they're willing to celebrate the beauty of what is in every moment.
Yeah, no, I do see us emerging into a new age that's been called of consciousness and love. And someone said this is our last chance for pain. So get it in while you got it. And because, you know, there might be conflict in the future, but it'll move to a higher level where I think resolution and harmony and peace will be more the way things are, as opposed to anger and war and hatred that's been so much a part of human civilization. I think we're moving out of that, and I think what's coming through you, this infusion, is a kind of the mantra of a new time, you know, the vibration of an uplifted spirit. Yeah.
I agree 100%. And, I mean, we're in the midst of it. Doesn't it feel good?
Could you give us a little download, what do you call them,
transmissions
of the coming of the coming times, of the new dreams? Can you give us some new dreams to dream? Because that's what we're needing to transform the society, new dreams, new visions.
I agree. I often think back to Martin Luther King Jr., who had his I have a dream speech, and I often wonder, what if he had said, I have a proposal, or I have a something else? I mean, nothing would quite fit the dream. And I have a seed syllable of advice that I would love to plant in the heart and ears of every being listening in this moment, if that's all right.
I love that, and the audience would love it, and BBS Radio would love it, so please.
Well, this for me came from that journey into the Middle East, where that little girl, little four-year-old girl, taught me that there is always peace when we love each other without shame. So I call this one Playmates for Life, because the world I envision is a playground of peace. So, before becoming intergalactic peace ambassadors, we must first become internal peace ambassadors. Because truth is gracefully walking a tightrope of elegance between us, while the beloved plays at the universe from behind an open secret, markedly expressed upon the stained glass window of your eye. So like pilgrims discovering the promised land of each other's milk and honey-drenched blood, seeing every heart in existence as a song, undulating on a midnight ocean, and coming together to kiss the cheek of innocence, saying, you are so astonishingly beautiful, and your tenderness is a playground, where these words become a merry-go-round of meaning. Found the super slide of sensations and being skin into a sandbox of pure imagination. Let's leave behind the emotional seesaws of up and down, up and down until we're exhausted, leaving the bottoms of our souls sore. Instead, come swing with me into the arms of eternity. And let's take a flying midair leap of faith into the freedom and fascination of diving face first into forgiveness, like a child running headlong into a backyard pile of flame-colored fall leaves. Just disrobe your essence of the ego, undress your mind of the need to be right, and get naked with me in this honesty. We can be like brand newborn babies in a bubble bath of peace, knowing neither guilt nor shame, only the purest parts of each other's flower petal heart, blooming in divine holy mystery, because our prayers are magic carpet rides for manifesting our dreams. And our dreams are interdimensional doorways through which our souls become the nexus point for experiencing every possible version of reality. Sadly, there is no 12-step program to becoming practically enlightened. I checked. There's no shortcut, surefire solution to being a so-called spiritual success. And sure, social showmanship sells a lot of t-shirts, but it's authenticity that performs the true alchemy of giving broken hearts back their song. So I wed myself to this innocence. I marry my soul to the fascination of seeing the beloved as everything. Here I am again, throwing pebbles of poetry at your heart's bedroom window in the middle of the night, saying, come play with me. I know you have to get up early in the morning, but come play with me. I know your hesitation tells you you shouldn't, but come play with me. I know you have a million different reasons for not coming out of your comfort zone and being wild and carefree, but come play with me. Leave behind all your doubts and insecurities, all your worries and obligations keeping you from exploring your constant expansion. Because the time for following in the footsteps of former avatars and so-called ascended masters is over. Why not now instead accept the invitation that the guru of your own glowing heart sent you in the form of a living opportunity to be an embodiment of source essence, a vessel for infinite creativity. Like a child poet on the playground, the peace, these hearts are mine, hearts tender and tapping on your soul's shoulder saying, hey, beautiful, I've got a pocket full of planets and moons that we can use to play a cosmic game of marble. So what do you say? Let's be playmates for life, because one drink from this cup of destiny and you'll disappear with me into the mystery of why our hearts refuse to be apart. And so keep on sending each other love letters of light in the form of falling stars, meteorites, and your smile to light up the night while our souls dance the hula hoop with the sparkling ring of time. So play hooky from your half-dos. Play hooky from your half-dos and take one more sip of these ruby red lips and we'll become the voice of the wilderness and the innocence of every creature playing hide-and-seek with the one behind the billion blazing suns pulsating in the indescribability of each movement of our lips and tongue. Quickly, while no one else is looking, let's slip into the shadows of another dimension where our daydreams are making out with our fantasies and giving birth to whole new realities inside each breath and heartbeat. A frontier of forgiveness where your happiness is my garden of peace and the paradise of smiling lips is where we tumble together sentiments and luminous starshine waterfalls whirlpooling their way with steady flowing, healing navel. Because as a shameless display of my affection for you, I have graffitied your essence into every cosmos, river, tree, and rock. For you, I have willingly jumped off the cliff of consciousness without a parachute of reason, diving face first into the event horizon of every black hole, fishing for bits and pieces of forgotten truth, which I have fashioned for you here as this golden verse and priceless honesty, and now here I am, upon bended knee, proposing, will you marry freedom with me? Will you marry freedom with me? Come on, let's elope into ecstasy. We can have a honeymoon on the visceral shores of Venus, complete with angel-winged excursions into the mystic oases of Mars, or better yet, take one more sip with me from that fountain of fascination until we become the intoxicating wine of intimacy and spike the whole world's reservoirs with equal parts of magic and mischief until everyone is naked of the need to fit in. Naked of the need to fit in and kissing this world like it was a love affair and every being out the run. Let's hug and kiss this world like it were a love affair and every being our beloved.
Beautiful. That's there's so many little pieces in there, little gems. I just want to, you know, in a way, have you stop so I can just listen, just absorb, you know, those small bits. And then it's like a drink that doesn't end, you know, a cool, refreshing drink. It's like you want to just taste it a little bit, but, you know, but it's just... it just get into the rhythm and the flow, and it just takes you. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. You know, if people want to experience it in person, there's an opportunity for that here at the Meta Center in New York on July the 25th, the day out of time, in the Mayan calendar. And I would invite any being wishing to do that or to go to dreamingbear.net. And thank you for the joy of your company. I know it goes fast. For me, I'm so excited, Alan. I've been telling you how excited I am about what is happening on the planet. And
just tell me a little bit about what's happening. What do you say when you say that?
Well, I see pockets of consciousness and peace awakening all over the world. You know, even in Palestine, there's a movement towards nonviolence, a Gandhian movement of nonviolent resistance towards whatever challenges they may be facing. And if that's possible in Palestine, then anything is possible. Simultaneously, people like yourself and other beautiful beings are on the liminal edges, the frontiers of our consciousness. It's amazing. At the very moment of our greatest consciousness, we also face, ironically, our greatest challenges to our planet and to the preservation of our own life and way of life. And yet what I see is adaptation and genius being sponsored spontaneously from the universe through individuals willing to assert their authenticity, willing to say, I'm going to be me. And to me, that's so exciting because it means it's happening in mass in a way that once it really begins to catch on, what we're in store for as a planet, as a people, as a generation, as a species is unbelievable. Just the what we're doing right now is a small drop in an infinite bucket that we call the Milky Way, which is a part of an even more phenomenal collection of articulations. And what I see us doing is somehow this part of the universe is sending out a wave of inspiration. And then that's the main word I want to leave people with, is inspiration. I see people beginning to follow their inspiration. And Gandhi said, be the change you seek. And I say, be the inspiration you seek, because it's not about changing the world. It's about inspiring the world to believe and see how beautiful they really are. Because, as you know, as Gandhi said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, leaves the whole world blind and toothless. But what happens when instead we give hug for hug and kiss for kiss, and leaves the whole world falling and rising simultaneously in love?
Yeah, I do see this amazing change. I mean, we were just tonight with the godmother of the New Age, Shirley MacLaine. She's put her life and her career on the line in order to inspire people for spiritual awareness. There are pockets, there are people I know. And so even this radio station, BBS Radio, they are doing their part to uplift the consciousness. Don Newsom and Seth, they're doing an amazing job there in order to spread this word out there to the population, whoever wants to listen. So I say keep listening to BBS and New Realities. I've been talking to Dreaming Bear. Now give us some places to find you on the internet.
People can visit dreamingbear.net. And that's take you right to the page. You can see all that I'm doing in this world, and I invite beings of like mind to connect. What I'm really hoping and wanting more than anything, Alan, is just to connect with the kind of beings. My request to the universe every day is, let me connect with the beings who are ready to be catalysts in a way that taps into the mainstream pulse of this planet. And if people are ready for that kind of excitement, that level of enthusiasm, then visit me at dreamingbear.net, and let's find a way to co-create a new reality, as you would say, Alan. That's exactly what we're doing. We're co-birthing. Let's be dream midwives and give birth to a new reality together.
Well, I do think it's a new reality, and new realities, because I think it's something that the planet hasn't seen before. I think, you know, we're coming together just like this. You know, we found each other. You were living in Hawaii. I'm in New York, and all the people we've connected, we are creating lines, a web of a new reality. And I think this new world that's emerging will really blow people's minds as to what's possible. I don't think we've even seen the possibilities. I think you mentioned that. Something else is that we're a new species arising, you know, like the person you met tonight, J.J. Hertog, says we are Homo universalis. We are the universal human that's emerging out of this out of the mud, in a way, you know, the way the lotus flower emerges and blossoms with that amazing smell and sensitivity. This is what's happening to the human race. And so it's a very exciting time to be here and to have us all wake up together in this way. You know, we are finally realizing our collective consciousness connections to each other. So I just think it's a lot of fun, you know. I do.
We're co-authoring the greatest work of art the universe has ever read and experienced.
I think so. I think it really is interesting, the technology, the internet. You know, it's everything. It's like we are really getting the sense of our oneness, of our collectivity. It's miraculous, you know, something that could never even been imagined 40, 50 years ago. How could anyone have seen that coming out of the ashes of World War II and the wars that come, and the wars that are still here, but something else is taking hold, and I'm happy you're out there doing this work, inspiring people. I'm doing my piece. Your friend Kate's doing her piece. Everyone's doing their piece, so thank you. So dreamingbear.net is your website.
That's it.
And people can find you in New York on the 25th at the Meta Center. That's 214 West 29th Street, New York City, Manhattan, 16th floor. Are you going to be anywhere else in the upcoming months?
I'm going to be back in Hawaii, and then I have an extensive tour, and people can just check that out on the events section of the website.
And I'll actually post it on my website, newrealities.com, because what I'm actually trying to do with that website is coordinate all the spiritual activity that's coming through New York and eventually on the planet. So it'll be the place for people to come to be aware of spiritual events. So that's my vision for New Realities and for all of us. So thank you, Dreaming Bear.
Thank you, Alan, for everything I've learned from you today. I'm so honored to be in your presence.
Okay, I hope you did learn something from me.
I did indeed.
Okay, so tell me what that was at some point. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you have any questions, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check out my website, newrealities.com. Also my TV show, newrealities.tv. Also seen in Manhattan on Monday nights, 9 p.m., Channel 57 at MNN.org. Or on YouTube, New Realities. After YouTube, it's New Realities or Alan Steinfeld. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of New Realities, and we'll look forward to hearing from you and seeing and listening to you next week. Thank you very much. Good night.